Good morning, everybody, and welcome to this Monday, the 28th day in August of 2023. I'm your host, Michael Kimmett, bringing you four of the most crucial current events in cyber and technology that you need to make it through the start of your work week. We're going to start with a language learning platform, Duolingo. Duolingo is suffering from some negative press because data that is allegedly from over 70 plus million of their monthly subscribers has allegedly been leaked on a hacker forum. As early as January of this year, criminals have been peddling the data, which includes the login names, real names, email addresses for users, and charging between $1,000 and $2,000, depending on where it's being posted. And after many months of investigation, Duolingo is saying this is not the result of a breach of their platform, but rather by criminals who are scraping information from public profiles. Now, scraping is a problem that you should be aware of. Some platforms like LinkedIn, Twitter, and Meta have sought to reduce the scraping of data. In the early days of Meta, for example, your phone number could be scraped from your profile. Criminals can harvest large amounts of data, sort by all sorts of nifty fields like who worked where, who lives where, who is a vice president, and they can create targeting lists. And these are the kinds of things that cybersecurity experts would like to prevent, making it easy for criminals to figure out who they want to target in mass, whether that's a company or a specific demographic or a specific geographic area. And so Duolingo looks like their users, depending on the platform that was scraped, need to have a conversation because their data could be out there through no fault of any specific platforms. Although it does raise a question about social media at large and if platforms should enforce scraping protocols that would limit that, for example, API rate limiting, other sorts of details and technical controls that would stop the scraping of your data, which is, while publicly available, should not be publicly accessible en masse to criminals. Speaking of available to criminals, there's another data issue where the London Metropolitan Police are worried about the integrity of their officers. Yes. What happened in this scenario is that data related to warrant cards and staff passes, which contain specific details of police officers of the London metropolitan area, were leaked when a third party that the department uses was found to have a flaw that criminals took advantage of, stole data. And so the London Metropolitan Police Chief is very seriously concerned that as officers realize that criminals or organized crime syndicates potentially could have their personal details, that they could be worried about who they arrest because maybe their family won't be safe. And this creates a very ethical and moral dilemma that the police department has in regards to data. So it's unclear exactly what will be done other than notifying those impacted, which data might be exposed. But what you need to know is that when you use a third party, you are offloading your personal liability in some cases. But when it comes to the brand, and in this case, your ability to service the community, which is your charter, you could be putting that at risk. So it's something to consider when you use a third party, what the implications to your business might be. And that's where we're going to move to next is business. There is a company named Kroll that does some risk and financial advisory solutions, and it's a very large and very successful firm. Well, one of their employees in August fell victim to what is known as a SIM swapping attack. SIM is the tiny microchip that allows your phone to authenticate with the carrier network. In this case, it was a T-Mobile network. And by knowing personal details such as password and or PIN, the attackers can convince the phone company to swap service to a SIM they control. Then from your SIM to theirs, they've swapped the service. And in this manner, they can retrieve your emails, some case text messages, and one of the reasons this is done is because now the attackers will receive your multi-factor authentication codes. And in this scenario, it allowed the criminals to target Kroll, gaining access to files that had personal information of bankruptcy claimants. And so when an attacker that is motivated to conduct financial crime now knows who specifically is claiming bankruptcy, in this case, it is somewhat controversial because it involves those that are claiming bankruptcy regarding a lot of cryptocurrency, such as BlockFi, FTX, and Genesis. A lot of those exchanges or cryptocurrency entities could, in theory, be targeted by these criminals to steal cryptocurrency, extort some of the individuals involved, and what could be illicit practices regarding cryptocurrency. And so this is a really big concern that when organizations that are involved in cryptocurrency, which is hugely targeted by criminals, has a financial matter, that those matters are kept private, because otherwise, in this case, looks like criminals could be targeting them and you. We're going to end today not on data loss, well, sort of, but on ransomware. Now, ransomware operators increasingly do steal data, which is concerning, but they also have a hugely negative impact on a lot of entities' ability to operate. And that is exactly what has happened to 16 hospitals across California, Connecticut, Pennsylvania, and Rhode Island, as long as a huge network of over 150 outpatient clinics. Now, the group responsible for these outages is the Reseda Ransomware Gang. They've claimed responsibility for an attack against Prospect Medical Holdings. And as a result of this cyber attack, those hospitals had to use pen and paper and could not access patients' charts. This is life impacting. If a hospital needs to save your life quickly, they need to be able to give you medication. If you are allergic to certain medications, in this case, the hospital wouldn't know. And so they have to go back through manually, through years potentially of medical records, if they even have them on site, to make sure that they don't accidentally kill you trying to save you. And so it reduces the ability of first responders to provide healthcare. Now, it also means that it's going to be much slower, and so you'll be waiting in the waiting room longer. And so appointments get pushed out. And so this is a hugely impactful attack. Not only is that operational aspect of the attack occurring, but meanwhile, the ransomware operators are claiming to have over 500 million social security numbers, documents, and patient records, all pretty damning to patients. So it's unclear exactly what the ransom in this scenario is, but if they don't pay, the hospital, in this case Prospect Medical Holdings, runs the risk that the actors will sell or disclose or leak all of these patient details. Now again, when you pay a ransomware criminal, there's no guarantee that these criminals, although they give you their word that they're deleting these files, are doing so. It looks like the holdings group there at Prospect Medical is not going to pay because they have, as of now, restored the ability of these clinic centers and hospitals to operate. But there is a notable lack of some patient records, which are still being researched, so they can be restored. So again, if you're a medical patient and you go to a clinic or hospital that is staffed by Prospect Medical Holdings, you probably noticed a delay. And for those of you who don't use that firm, just know that this is just one of many firms that could be targeted. And our healthcare data, while it should be very sensitive, is often targeted by criminals because they know that the ability to give you medical care is critical and that many of these medical holding companies will pay to make sure that you can have a very safe and healthy life. That'll do it for me today. Thank you all so very much. Have a fantastic and outstanding Monday. It's going to be a great week, so stay safe, stay strong, stay healthy. We'll see you bright and early tomorrow. Until then, Michael Kimmett. Signing off. Ciao. Welcome back, listeners. Today's tip of the cap goes to two brothers in Pakistan, Sahib and Nasir Khan, are getting a sincere tip of the cap for life-saving heroics. There was a cable car that crossed a ravine that was stuck. Two of the three cables suspending the car snapped, stranding multiple people for over 12 hours. And when a helicopter from search and rescue attempted to save lives, high winds made it incredibly dangerous. In stepped Sahib and Nasir, who were allowed to use a zip line to cross the ravine near the stranded cable car, and in the darkness of night, a difficult task, were able to save five individuals where search and rescue could not, risking their lives in darkness and high winds in the service of others. So to you, Sahib and Nasir, for being selfless, for saving lives, and for stepping in when needed, a sincere tip of the cap, and please keep on ziplining.